Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood! This is your host with the most, Nikki Kawula. Eddie Pence is editing his comedy special, which is going to be released in maybe a couple weeks, so I'll keep you posted on that. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have two amazing artists in the room. Mr. Adam Gust, drummer extraordinaire.
All of those.
A lot of R's in that. Drummer extraordinaire. And singer-songwriter Fia.
Yeah, Nick.
All right. Say hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, our studio audience loves you guys already.
Yeah, good to see them. They're such a handsome bunch. Dang it.
I know.
You get such good looking people in here.
They're all models.
Oh, you know? Dang.
Model citizens, models, period. And they can be silenced right when you want them to. Just let it fade, let it fade.
Yeah,
right,
that's like why that. They get the big bucks.
I pay them all. And coupons. Anyways, so Adam, you've been playing drums all over the world.
Yeah, a bit.
Tell us what you've been doing. You haven't been here for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. Wow, it has been such a trip.
It's not because I don't like you. It's just,
no?
Just sometimes it works.
That's how it's been. It's funny. Yeah, the first time that I was here, it was June 12th, 3 years ago. And I was kind of trying to promote some things that I was doing then. And there was been a large shift.
And now you just got more skills.
Then,
there's editing videos, doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
I've been adding to the skill set a bit. And it's been great, you know.
I don't want to just be a master of playing drums. I want to dominate every part of the industry.
I want to have some idea of how to, you know, navigate through a few things so that I can just try to sound a little more intelligent when I talk to people who do things that are outside of music.
So tell us what you've been involved in.
Yeah, well, last time I was here, I was working on a bunch of media stuff, a TV show idea and some drum instruction stuff. And I really have changed gears a lot since then. I kind of thought I wanted to have this media mogul, you know, kind of company idea. And I was working with some people who were really talented and suggesting I go in that direction. But I kind of decided, you know, I just kind of really need to step back from it all and figure out, focus more on what I'm doing than how I'm doing it.
I like that. You had to pivot.
Yeah, I did. And I spent some time at your place figuring out how
that's
to do
right.
it.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah, I shut down.
Went through a major transition. I was there to catch you.
Oh, my God.
To catch you when you fell.
Thank God for Nikhil Kawula.
Right.
He is a true friend over the years.
Hey, man. Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah, I had a recording studio that I was investing a lot of time in, and I was trying to do this video project in a way to brand the studio and to attract business. And it was a little backwards to think of it that way, looking back on it now. Had a client that kind of made me need to adjust my paradigm. And
you know what? That's so much of it, too. It's like sometimes you feel like you're building something, and then you're doing it for the work, and then you sometimes can get lost in the work a little bit and kind of like you have to reassess. You have to say, what are the things I want to do versus what are the things I have to do versus what are the things I love doing? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like,
it's important to know that there's a difference in all three.
Yeah, especially like trying to be involved in entrepreneurship. And I mean, you can't just be a musician these days, or at least I don't think so. I mean, you're really trying to need to branch out and be more of a personality and, you know, be good at talking to the camera and engaging with people.
Which I hate doing. You know, that's
you?
Like the new
what?
Thing.
You know, radio
what?
Show?
It's like, you know, the funny thing is it's like, I can do a radio show all day long. I could sit and do a talk show all day long. But it's talking into a phone when nobody's around and saying, "What's up, Instagram? We're here." Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And just, well, I can do it, but I feel like, what, I'd rather be practicing or writing or working on music and trying to get something going, you know,
that's
not that. So it's like, you know, if the ship is all about, you know, social media followers, I'm going to sink real fast, but I'm hoping that, you know, at the end of the day, it won't be.
Yeah, well, man, you're involved in so many things. I mean, have you mentioned to your audience about your animated film?
Know. Yeah. Well, they don't know about the whole thing, but this Saturday, it's kind of crazy.
I know, right?
When you were part of the song, man. You were part of the song. So one of the songs we recorded, Adam, you were instrumental in making this session happen with Butch Taylor from Dave Matthews Band. We recorded a song with Butch Taylor from the Dave Matthews Band. It turned out to be an amazing song that we turned into an animation video. The animation video is now being featured at LA Live at Regal Cinemas next to Deadmau5's video and a short with, what's the guy's name? Billy Bob Thornton. It's in a film festival called the Independent Film Showcase. And it just got into a film festival in Portugal. So I think I'm going to Portugal in a couple weeks.
Oh,
which is so
rad, dude.
Yeah. So it's just like so much stuff's going on, and then we're going to make this movie, and it's nuts, man. But it's just been like it's all about the slow burn.
Yeah.
You know, but let's make it about you, because this is about you right
well,
now.
Well, it is kind of about me talking about you. I feel like we are such good friends, and
that's
that we've affected each other's kind of perspective on things.
You're my favorite drummer, man.
Oh, man.
I'm not saying that like with, you know, I'm not saying, I don't use those words very lightly. I use them with potency.
Yeah.
No, you're just an amazing drummer.
Oh, thanks. I feel like everything you do with authenticity. Like everything I've seen you do, it represents you. And I feel like where I went wrong, I sort of lost sight of that. I got into
It's easy. The city is
yeah.
full of that.
And just like, I mean, man, as much as I love social media and I love checking in on people I know and friends.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to know half the things they're doing. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But I mean, how awesome is it that if you want to know something, you can just Google it and you find out about it and they're engaging people. People who want to talk to you about it, and
you know, it's
fun
funny.
To watch
it's funny you say that, because it's like I'm from LA. I'm like one of those rare breed of people that is actually from the city. So it's like you see how the city can change people real fast. Just like everybody comes here for entertainment or to make it in something, business, whatever it is, and you see like this city is it's kind of evil and amazing in the way that it's like it can change you or it can make you who you are, and in like. Those are two different realities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can change you for the worse, and it can also make you stand for who you really are in a really beautiful way. And it's like you have to learn that about the city. And New York does it in the same way, but New York bitch slaps you. LA, you know, rubs you on your back like, hey, come on
Palm
in.
Trees, beaches.
Yeah, we're going to make it real easy. And then shakes you, you know? You know, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. Totally understandable.
Yeah, I was trying to do the right thing, you know, how to promote your business. I mean, like looking up, you know, best ways to do that, having role models with that. And I remember that Tim Ferriss was he did the 4-Hour Work Week book that I read, and I really liked it. And meant something that really stood out to me about that was him like knowing your telling his audience to know your worst case scenario. And he had this story about how he was like just grinding, trying to make this business work for himself, and he just was kept beating his head against the wall without results. And he finally just like, oh my God, I need a break. And he left, and he let, you know, his team take care of it. And he found out that actually worked for him. He was actually his own bottleneck.
Wow.
And that he with him removing himself from the situation actually improved it. He got some perspective, and he kind of got a feel for what his clients were willing to deal with, I guess, and how he put it. And the clients that were giving him the worst problems were, when you get rid of them, you have so much more room for the ones that are, you know, being good to you and to do other things. And so I guess, I remember hitting a wall, and I remember I was recording and doing gigs, and I was managing 3 Airbnb listings, and I was miserable. I remember I was turning down festivals with you to clean
toilets. Summerfest, not just a festival, the world's largest music festival.
I mean, I look
when you want to play Summerfest, you're like, no, I've got to manage this.
I've
got to
clean
like,
toilets.
What?
I know, man. Right. I was like managing, and I'm doing the laundry and cleaning this stuff, and
but it's
playing
easy.
Gigs.
I mean, that's survival. It's
yeah,
also survival.
Yeah, I was really wanting to reinvest the money I would make. make off of this property management business and all this stuff. And finally, I was just like, you know what? Tim Ferriss did it. I'm just going to quit. I just shut down my studio, left. I didn't even know what I was going to do. I freaking, mom, can I come stay with you for a little while? It was, thank God I had that, you know, thanks mom. And it was a funny.
Moms are the best.
I know.
Perfect timing for that Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mrs. Gus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just was like, okay, I just need to rethink what I'm doing. And remember, and so, and Nikki was like, man, if you need some time, you know, I got a spare room. You can hang out for a while. And so yeah, Nikhil Kurula.
Dude, you know,
man,
what?
Thank
you put
God.
In the time in the band. I was like, you can live with me, man. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I took care of
and
you.
Then Nikki hooks me up with a 6-month cruise ship gig.
That's right.
Yeah, he had some connections, and he was like, man, my drummer, he's had some availability.
Actually, you played a cool show. Let's talk about that show for 2 minutes. You did a Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah, it was
and
awesome.
You actually played, it's a show about Sun Studio,
mm-hmm.
Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis,
Carl Perkins.
And it's the story of that famous photo.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, and they called me about the gig because you had recommended me, and it's 6 months. It was 2 nights a week, 10 hours a week for 6 months.
That's
and
amazing.
So, I mean, it's like, I remember just thinking I could have never even conceived that this was possible, you know.
And was Logan on that gig?
Logan, yeah. Who
so
ended
Logan's
up being
now
a good
playing
friend of mine.
Piano
yeah.
for Lucas Nelson.
Yeah,
the
Lucas
Promise of the
Nelson.
Rio.
Yep. Yeah, it was such a pivotal moment for me. I remember I was working 80, 90-hour weeks for 2 straight years. I didn't have a day off. And I was just like trying to make enough money to hire people, video editors, and people to help me with this media campaign I was trying to promote. And it was
crazy.
Just going nowhere. And it was going somewhere. But I mean, looking back, what am I really describing or what am I doing
right.
with it? You know, it was, man, I was depressed. It
yeah.
was a bummer. I was
well because
so
you
far
have no
off.
Time for yourself.
Yeah,
you mean it's like if you're not leaving time to kind of like chill out, you know, it's the,
yeah.
you're just like you leave yourself wide open. You know, it's like Fia, you're an artist as well.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of deal with just like the grind and the hustle of the business?
You know, it's same thing. It's day to day. Some days are a lot better, easier. Things come natural. You feel like you have a very set direction. Other days you're kind of just lost thinking, you know, what am I doing?
Yeah.
It's like, it's really black and white. And it's honestly so much of a mental state. So I remember times where I've been probably the most down and out, whether it's financially or just physically or just in a funk. And it could be during, you know, all these opportunities, shows are coming in. Like it all stems back down to the mental state for me. So if my mental place isn't good, then nothing
yeah.
around me is going to be good.
Right.
But I feel like also I'm such a hustler, always hustling, always grinding, that when I'm not, I don't feel like me. So I just constantly try to be doing something, whether it's, you know, even just staying mentally healthy or just getting in the gym or, you know,
yeah.
reaching out to new people and just trying to like stay as proactive as possible.
Yeah. My goal every day is to do 3 things. 3 things that is proactive for my career. So it's like, it could be sending emails, making phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
It could be writing, could be practicing, could be working out, could
yeah.
be just networking, going to an event, whatever it is.
Yeah.
3 things. And it's, if I can do at least 2 or 3 a day, then I know I'm just going to keep on moving forward. But this industry is kind of, it's a circus.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so cutthroat all the time.
Are you from LA?
I'm not. I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So you went from small pond to
yes.
ridiculously large pond.
Yes.
How was that transformation?
You know, I love LA. From the minute I got here, I felt like this was home. I like the energy. I tend to feel like you're going to find what you're looking for. And I
yeah.
came hopeful. I came expecting big things to happen, expecting to meet great people. And that's exactly what I found. So I really just kind of expanded my Denver home, you know, expanded
yeah.
the backyard. And came out here. But I do go home quite often, just kind of to stay grounded.
Oh, just to
very
be in the Rockies.
Family.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. It's beautiful
yeah.
weather. But no, it was quite a transition. But when I'm not here, I miss it. So even when I travel, I love LA. I feel like if you have the right approach and you take all the good parts.
I think it's the greatest city on the planet.
It is. It absolutely
is. But it took me 30 years to
yeah.
realize that. It took me traveling the globe, coming
yeah.
back to LA and realizing you know what? This is an amazing city. Like, you could get everything you want if you search for it.
Absolutely.
But it's real easy to get lost and lose sight of things mm-hmm. and just see, like, there's a lot of affluence. I mean, you're driving through. You can drive through Beverly Hills and drive through homeless shelters in the same, you know, couple blocks. And that's crazy.
Because
it's like, and that's where New York's like that, too. It's like you can be in, you know, Fifth Avenue and then make a couple lefts and rights and you're in Bum Central, you know.
Right.
It's like, so it's like it gives you perspective of what's out there and what you're up against too.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it kind of shows that your life can change on a dime.
Yeah.
You can be in a low place at one moment and just almost overnight, really, with the right work ethic and just that belief that you can do it. I mean, it really can flip just like that,
yeah.
Which is kind of the power of LA as well. There's not a lot of places where you feel like you have that sort of, you know, fantasy life.
Yeah. Can make or break you.
Yeah.
So to speak. Not to be cliche. Yeah.
No, it's true.
So, Adam, you came back off the cruise ship. You were playing with artists. You were recording. Tell us some of the people you were playing with.
Since then.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I kind of want to talk a little bit about more about that experience, that six
okay.
months.
Yeah,
that,
that's all right.
Cause, yeah,
this is your time, man. You tell me what we're talking about.
Yeah, because it really was something that was so necessary to me, and I feel real fortunate that it was provided. I mean, and man, I have you to thank to a large degree for that as well. I mean,
this is not coached by anybody else.
No, but it was striking me as I was coming over here, like, oh my God, I'm about to have an interview with the guy who kind of like, you helped me so much through one of the dark times in my life.
It's all right.
And because I read a lot of books. And it was,
and that gives you the shift.
Yeah, because you know? When I went to visit my mom for a while, she was seeing a therapist for a long time. And her therapist knew her family situation, knew about me through that. And she was like, why don't you talk to her? I was like, okay, well, I never wanted to do therapy ever. I never thought about it. But I was like, okay, well, at least I'm hitting the ground running.
Right.
You know, she already knows something about me. And I remember like the first like session with her was it was amazing to be able to talk to somebody and get some perspective, because I was just so focused on this one thing that I thought that I wanted, and you know, and to step back from it. And she suggested some authors, and there's Terrence Real and Brene Brown and bell hooks, and there were, and man, to have the time to read these books and journal about it really made me kind of understand how important internal dialogue is. And because, so, I mean, as much as I was trying to pursue this entrepreneurial vision of mine to have this TV show idea and an instructional series or school about drumming, I really, my internal dialogue was completely against that. Like, yeah. I didn't even realize it. I thought that I was kind of negatively motivating myself by saying that I wasn't, you know, trying hard enough or I'm not good enough. That was normally something that I would use to try to facilitate more effort. But I just realized how skewed the effort was when my own speech with myself was tainted like that. And so, man, Terrence Real was a really amazing author for me. I really had the time to read his books, and I would write down notes about things that would strike me, about things that would trigger some memory. And I just a little side note on a journal page, and then I would journal for 3 pages about that thought.
And you gave yourself homework. I'm impressed.
It was the most. Well, I mean, you know, dude, when you're working 10 hours a week on a cruise ship and you're right. like not spending, because I was like, okay, I'm going to save every freaking dollar I had. I ate on the ship every meal, and like I didn't do, like I was
right.
I was like, okay, I'm going to come off this ship and I'm going to have money in my pocket. I'm going to have a clear vision of what I want. And it was really a turning point for me. And it's affected everything that I've done since then. And man, thank God for that experience.
Well, and you're also like around water too.
Yeah.
Like just staring at water sometimes can give you perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, it does for me. It's like, I know that when I'm around water, it gives me this sense of reassessing. And it just makes me think what's important to me. The funny thing about like music and life, I think it's like, you know, I view success very differently now. As I'm 40 years old. Now I look at success like when I see somebody that's uber rich, I'm like, you might be super successful. That's amazing. But how's your family? How is your health? Like, are you using cocaine every, you know, like 5 minutes to sustain something, you know, to make yourself numb from something that made you uber rich, or You know what I mean?
My question would be, how is your internal dialogue?
Yeah.
That is such a big deal for me looking back now, and how, if you can really know what that, who is talking to who.
Yeah.
And I just want to describe how Terrence talks about Terry Real. He feels that it is actually our male and female halves talking to each other.
Hmm.
And so his is mostly a study of how men relate to themselves and male depression. I mean, he does a lot of family therapy. And he talks about how when we're born and we are raised in a patriarchal world, male dominated, how the first time we're taught what is masculine is a pivotal moment. Like when is the first time that we realize what is a masculine trait or an action and what is feminine? And it was funny. I realized what it was underoos. For me, I remember being 5 years old and I wanted Wonder Woman underoos. And I remember my parents or my dad was no son of mine is putting Wonder Woman underoos. I'm not buying these things. Some people don't even know what these are, but they're superhero underwear.
Well, did you finally get them?
No, I didn't. And I remember being a kid.
Now I know what to get you for Christmas. I'd like the 6'8" underoos, Wonder Woman underoos.
But I mean, it's like funny. What the funny thing is like, how masculine is it to want Wonder Woman on your, on your body? But it was actually, and I realized, wow, I loved the character. And I remember it is a weak feminine thing to want this and you should not have it. And that really struck me. And I remember journaling about this. And I mean, it sounds so silly, but that was the moment.
Well, it's like suppression.
Me.
You're suppressing that.
And so Terrence claims that bifurcates your soul, as he puts it. That splits you into two people.
Oh, he's such a writer.
Man, he's awesome. Man,
Take that word and, I'm just kidding.
Man, but it helps, I think, to really analyze who is talking to who. So he claims that it's when you learn male dominance and female submissiveness in a patriarchal system, that affects your internal dialogue. And so it's your dominant male and submissive female talking to each other. And so that when I started thinking of it that way, wow, if you can get underneath that and kind of hear that dialogue going on. Because, I mean, when I had this injury, I had an injury May 8th, 2010.
And let's talk about that injury. Yeah. You walked through a glass door and it cut.
On a gig.
Gig, and it cut your wrist and you lost sensation in your tendons.
Yeah, I still have nerve damage. It was gory. And it's funny because I've done a lot of studying about what trauma is. And it's funny, 9 years later, it was clearly a totally traumatic experience. It was.
Thing about that is, it's like it was this monumental thing for you, and your playing to me never suffered. To you, you had to reconfigure how you play. I remember you telling me this, but to me, I was just like, for you to still have the pocket that you do with that injury, it was like, that's insane, because it didn't affect how you played to probably a lot more people than
not
just me.
Me.
Right. Right.
This is the first time hearing of this, and I'm jaw dropped over here.
But it's funny because it's easy to get in your head about things.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Well, I guess I never talked about how much work it went into not sounding bad. I mean, the tension would happen from this nerve damage being activated, I would have to just employ so many countermeasures that I would work on 3 hours a day in order to not sound bad. And so when you're trying to pursue something like music that's supposed to bring you joy, and it makes it worth all the things that are not joyful about the music business, that moment on stage, and when it's really stressful and painful and aggravating, it's kind of like, wow, why am I doing this? What should I do? And I guess after studying what trauma is, I realized that it was activating a traumatic memory playing. Like when the tension would happen in my emotional memory, it was triggering the memory of the day that I had that injury. And so that's what I realized when I was kind of doing this research.
I thought you were going to say triggered the Wonder Woman under roots. I was like,
no,
well, there's
not
another,
that at all.
That's a whole nother.
No,
bag.
That is a whole different thing. I mean, it's great to talk about recovery, but you can't really talk about recovery without talking about the trauma that caused it. And so, I mean, I fortunately had this opportunity on the ship to really dive into my trauma and like write about it and journal about it on a daily basis. And if you journal, man, if swear to God, people out, whoever's listening, if you were to journal for three straight pages and keep the pen pressed to the paper and just let it go, eventually you're going to start writing things that your conscious mind is unaware of.
Yeah.
And that's really when you start digging into who you really are and what is triggering some responses. And that's when I realized that why I hated playing, why I did, like, how can you get up and want to practice 3 hours a day when you're miserable practicing? Well, it was because I was reliving that emotional trauma of that day because I was being triggered by playing drums. And so I'm so grateful that I was able to remove myself, because I would have discovered that if I had stayed on the path that I did.
Well, you know what? Just so people know how you play drums, let's play something.
Oh.
What do you want to play first?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think three or four songs. So what do I have?
I can't wait to get to play with Ariel Mann, another mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
And so there's a track that I did at my studio with Ariel, he was the guitar player on Phoenix's show at the Mint that sold out.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's so
great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah,
and
I love like commenting on his Facebook posts. Like, he has like these great opinions. I'm like, oh yeah, but how about this?
Yeah, he's a composer and guitar player, and so this is a cue that we did for we were trying to sell it. So it's called Imminence.
All right.
And you have it in front of you. Well,
here
check
goes.
Check it out. Oh, they loved it.
Dude, the drama was like at an 11.
Palpable.
Yes. I mean, I feel like if I was like late for a function, that would be my theme song playing.
Yeah.
And that would just make me even feel more intense about being late. that's the song going on in my head when I'm in traffic having to be somewhere and I'm late.
Yeah.
It was great. I love it.
Yeah, it is dramatic, cool. Cinematic.
How'd you come with the whole vibe of it?
Ariel brought the track. He had composed it and did all the orchestration, and then added guitar and drums over it. And we're going to be doing an episode of Musicians in Studios Getting Coffee That's awesome. A TV show. That's a TV show I'm working on. Very it's cool. Obviously my version of Comedians in Cars. Oh, yeah. Getting that's my
I got
favorite
it right away.
Show.
Oh, me too.
Man, I love that
I've watched,
show. So
you know,
much.
I haven't seen the second season, but I've watched the entire first season.
Yeah, I've seen love every love one. It. Man, the Bill Burr one is my favorite. Love that dude.
Well, second season or first season?
I don't know what season it is.
Probably second season.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like it should be in every industry, something like that. And so I was like, well, man, there should be a musician's version of it. And so that
Well, that's
be...
one of the reasons I started this interview show, because it's like, you know, I love music, and it's like, I think you need somebody instead of, like, I've done so many shows where the people interviewing you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or no idea about how to make music. And they're asking you these questions, and you're just sitting there like, this is like a training wheels question. Okay, cool. Let me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I love bringing musicians in here, and it's like, okay, cool. Let me hear your stuff. What are you doing? Okay, cool. Let's vibe and let's educate our audience while we talk music.
Yeah.
Because that's what Seinfeld does when he's talking comedy. It's like the Seinfeld, you know, interview with Chris Rock. It's like unbelievable. It's and they get pulled over too. Like it's unbelievable on so many levels. It's just like comedy gold. Anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to do something similar. I bring artists and musicians, and I play with them, and then that's the music bed for the interview. And then we talk about how we know each other and what the artist is up to. And I think the theme I want to promote is internal dialogue and really kind of dissecting how people kind of envision, you know, what that means to them.
You've done a lot of soul searching. I love it.
Yeah, a ton of it. And it's really, I feel like it's brought me closer to where I want to be. And it's definitely affected my view on education, because I think a lot of 19th century models for education are just really, they're just so antiquated. It's ridiculous. And so I think when I start holding up more progressive academic views to drum education, when you hold up that lens to like drum rudiments and how drums have been taught through the ages. I mean, there's a basic idea of backward design where you see where you want to go and you design the course backwards. And when I think about that with drum rudiments, I notice, okay, well, if I were to study drum rudiments, that would prepare me to be a Revolutionary War snare drummer. Like, you know, is that what I want to be? Like, no.
Well, it's... is it not?
Not really into reenactments.
Even for a set of Wonder Woman underoos.
Ba-dum-ba. Hey, where's your ba-dum-bum? You got that one there?
I do. Oh. Hold on. I got to find it real quick. You see, you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, like, the timing's off.
Well,
now.
You know what? We'll do it again. There we go. Always deliver.
Yeah, but I feel like that was the underoos thing was kind of that thing that set up like my understanding of like what a dominant male would say. And so, yeah, how that ties into what trauma is, man, your internal dialogue can get really skewed. And so, yeah, I want to talk more about that. And so you please.
That you want to like open up emotional dialogue, period.
Yeah. With yourself, I think is one of the most important ones, because I think that's what. And ultimately, it's therapy with yourself is like really understanding how you talk to yourself and how important that language is. And yeah, and I mean, just different people's takes on what that means to them is there's many different ways to talk to yourself as there are human beings on the planet. And it's like the only communication that can't be spied on. I mean, it's the most intimate communication in the world. It's how you talk to yourself.
It all depends. I mean, I've got a device.
You do? Oh, shit. You better keep that to yourself. Yeah. Sell that. Oh, my God.
Sophia, how did you cross paths with Adam and...
By the graces of all the gods.
You're like our inner dialogues just happened to be on social media together.
No, so I had... we kind of worked with like a mutual... Well, my producer at the time, about a year ago, well, maybe even a little over a year, had kind of introduced us. Adam actually came on as my drummer for my album release party and launch of my new album about a year ago. And I met him like the day of the first rehearsal, and we had like minimal conversations kind of prior on the phone, just in regards to like the set list and how we wanted to run things and just different music cues and things of that nature. But I'd never met him in person, never really heard him. I just knew that he was great. And but wow, when I tell you that just that first day in that sound studio, you know, we're at the amp, small room, great acoustics. This guy, he's just like warming up like it's nothing, just going ham over here on the drums. And I'm staring at him like, this is going to be fun. And then it was just so exhilarating because I've worked with a lot of musicians, and I don't think ever I've run across someone who's A, so talented, and so humble at the same time. Yeah. He will never admit it.
That's why he's been my drummer for 13, 14
I'll admit,
years.
I'll admit how humble I am.
That's it.
He's like, allow me to tell you how humble right. I am.
But also, he was just so great in the way that I really felt like he could take my vision and what I'm hearing as an artist and a fellow musician and really bring it to life. And I don't know. It was just such a great – I just immediately was aware of his abilities and just his – love of music. And I'm all about everyone on my team, from, you know, band to dancers to just anybody, is there because they're amazing and they love it and they eat, sleep, breathe it. Yeah. And it's their passion above all else.
And they're not assholes.
And they're not assholes. That's yeah. like the number one criteria.
I've worked with so many assholes. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even care.
I don't have time for that.
I don't want to work with you.
Yeah. Before I met her, you always assume the worst. I mean, you're just like, okay. I mean, and so it's kind of nice to hear her say that, because I thought the same thing, because when she came in, you just get the immediate impression like, wow, this is just a genuinely nice person who's also
you're like,
amazing
she's
talent.
Not from here.
Yep, but she's been, yeah, now. How long have you been out here now?
So, well, it's a hard question to answer. I moved out here like almost 5 years ago, okay. And I was here for about a year, and I was dancing professional. I actually came out as a dancer, and then I ended up doing a little bit of a tour through the U.S., worked for a couple artists, and then pretty right off the bat, I actually got signed to a girl group with Interscope Records. It was called She.
Okay.
And we did a spot tour, mostly like summer festival stuff, and then the group ended up kind of dissipating, and then I went solo under the name She, and then I did an international tour for about 6 months, and then after that I went back to Denver, only planned to stay there for like a month or two just to catch my bearings. Ended up meeting a producer out there, and he convinced me more or less to stay and write this new album, which I've now released. It was out about a year ago, and this is we worked on the album extensively for what ended up being about a year. It took a lot longer than we thought.
It always does.
And then, but I had a great writing team. And then we actually went down to Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, and we recorded with the iconic Swampers, the actual
That's
musicians
crazy.
On my album. And that was probably the coolest thing I've done to date.
Yep.
There's
yeah,
nothing
see
like
the
it.
Muscle Shoals documentary if you can. It's
yes.
amazing.
Wait, isn't You'll Chris see- Pierce? No, Chris Pierce did it. He did a record with them, but not through the documentary.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. Yeah, that documentary. And it's funny because right around the time that I was being offered to come down there, I had just watched the documentary.
Wow.
And I was like, ultimate manifestation right here. Because I just watched it and thought, this is what I want to do.
Right.
Because when I was in the girl group, it was very much EDM, techno, and that's a great, and I'm a dancer, so that was right. fun, but that was not what I wanted to
because
do.
Because it's not the roots.
It's not the roots, and I grew up with the roots, the bluesy, the Motown, you know, the soul, and so this was a big step in another direction, and I'm just so grateful I did it, and it really has led to everything that's happened after. So with all that being said, when I finally came back out here, that was just in September. So I've been out here, what, a couple months now?
Yeah.
I and feel like I've lived here for years.
Yeah,
but...
and they loved her. You've been back for writing sessions?
Yeah,
and,
So now you're here. You're back
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so I'm in L.A. Yep, back in L.A. I'm still traveling all the time, but about to go back to Muscle Shoals again in another month or so. And we're actually
That's
doing
awesome.
A writing session. I'm like, yeah, they asked me to come down. Like, oh, do you think you
she's
have
real
time?
Deal?
That's awesome.
Like, yeah,
they don't
fine.
Ask everybody.
I know. I'm like, absolutely. So, and I actually would love to go back there for my second album, which I'm kind of working on the side. But yeah, that's another project. We're still
well, let's hear a track.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
hear
yeah,
track.
Yeah. Oh, I love playing this.
Is it moving
one?
On? Is that the
yeah.
one?
Yeah. Oh, this is badass.
This one's probably the most cross genre on the entire album. So.
All right. This is Moving On by Fia.
Of the pieces of the past just to let it run. Can't stop running away from the things that I said I was wrong. Wanted to let you know, but you moved on. And it haunts me. I wanna move. Oh,
up in my claws, and it cuts to the bone, to the soul, and I found who I was, and I set her free. She is me. I wanna move on. Replaying conversations of when I was young and dumb. But now it's time to let it go. Boom. Cause who knows what the future holds. And I can fly away from it, baby. Even though that pain did change me. And with the beat sinking. No, lately I've been thinking too much. But only when I'm drinking, I end up saying what I'm feeling. Oh, oh, I let it go. We're moving on, yeah, we're blowing snow like oh.
We got your choreographer in the room. Why don't you say what's up about what you're doing with this project?
Hi, guys. I'm Michael D'Angelo. So I'm the choreographer, creative director, and co-founder. So with this, we're going to have about 8 dancers, 4 singers, 5-piece band. So I got some work to do.
Yeah.
So the dancers,
you're doing all this at the Mint?
All this at the Mint.
Wow. Yeah. Stage extension.
Yeah. And we have a fire eater.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. We have an amazing host. She used to have her own MTV show. We have, like, the whole works coming out.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, so the production meeting was, what, 9 people?
9 people.
Yep. It's a big deal. Wow. And it's June 11th.
Yes.
Buy tickets now. Look up Empire Experience.
Yeah, the Empire Experience.
Is that related to the TV show, or is it just?
It is not. Okay. So no, I guess we didn't really say what it is. So we actually, Michael and I, just founded this new company and this new show that's going to be the hottest night in LA entertainment.
I like it.
And it premieres June 11th, and it is going to be a live interactive show, and we're very much fusing like the vivaciousness of a concert with like the magic of a theatrical production. And it's also going to be very interactive. As a matter of fact, the whole idea was kind of sprung by the like Studio 54 when it was in its good days.
Oh yeah.
Before shit really
hit. Were there any bad days?
I know, right? True. So it's interactive. It's going to transport you back to the theme. Every month's a different theme. And it's really going to be a combination of a lot of different elements. So we call it the experience, the Empire Experience, because it's exactly that. And it's also very much, the idea is that it's a collaboration of all of LA's best, whether that's musicians, dancers, singers, actors, comedians, hosts. Like we wanted to get a platform and then call you know, on all of the talent around us, because at this point we've met and worked with so many great people. Call them all to one stage and say, okay, this isn't me, Fia Nix, telling you what to do. This is us saying, let's collectively put together our talents and our wild imaginations and see what we can do with this.
Amazing. And how did you come up with this concept?
Honestly, Adam. He kind of gave us the fact.
Adam's like, you need dancers. I need dancers.
Yeah,
I can't work like this.
Yeah, I was musical director on her first show. And man, it was so awesome to get to put together my dream band of musicians.
You're like,
and
why don't we get more dancers?
So this show is different than the first one, because the other one was supporting her record. And this one that has a fusion of 1920s burlesque music, where along with her, you know, fused with
awesome.
Her.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be badass. I'm so excited to be doing it. Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
I'm going to give you a funny story about Adam. So yes, I went to see Steve Miller Band. And afterwards, I'm in the bar with one of my friends who plays guitar for Steve Miller. And I'm sitting here talking to this girl who also knows him. And she's like, oh, you're a musician? I said, yeah. You're a musician? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, what kind of music? She's like, rock and blues. I'm like, awesome. And she was like, I play with the best drummer in LA. And I said, no, you don't, because I play with the best drummer in LA. And she's like, who's your drummer? I said, Adam Gust. And she said, that's my drummer.
No way.
Swear to God. Wow. Swear to God.
Who was that?
Allie Handel. Allie and I are now very good friends. We've all done shows together. She's been a guest here.
Yeah, I played with her Saturday.
But that's how.
Everybody knows that.
See?
Common knowledge.
If you know,
I'm blushing on radio.
You really know that Adam Gust is the best drummer.
He is. And it was Adam one night that said, why don't we think about a residency? Like, why have we not done that?
Yeah.
And both Mike and I were like, oh my God. Yeah. Why haven't we done that? And we're also in a point of our lives where, and I feel like probably a lot of artists can relate to this, you only can spend so much time waiting for the opportunities to come.
Yeah.
And sometimes what you're really looking for isn't out there and you have to create it. And we realize that.
Story of my life, girl.
Yeah. Right? You're like, you know what? I can't find this anywhere. And usually things eventually fall into place. And when you're just hitting, you know, block after block, you have to reassess and say, okay, why am I not in the direction I want to go? And why am I not finding, you know, what I feel like I should be doing right now? And we realize after a lot of talking about it that it's because it doesn't exist yet. So why not rally everyone around? Because there's no reason why we can't do it. We have the right people. We have the right ambition and the talent.
Well, and it's like iron sharpens iron.
Right.
Ooh, like
the more
you're around good talent, just makes you better.
Yeah, she was wanting to tour with the record, which is a natural thing to want to do. But I mean, with the production level that this group, it's really hard to get that off
really
the ground.
Hard.
And
right.
So it's bad. I think this is a really good move. I think people are going to see the potential
of it.
Well,
it's just about getting press and getting people there to kind of like talk about it. And
And about making it about the art again.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to take it back out of, like, the business part. I mean, obviously, it's always a business, but exactly what Adam said. Like, when I was getting tour offers, it was like, okay, come open for so-and-so, do two numbers with a track, bring one or two dancers. And, like, that's great. I love that. But that's not the kind of artist I am. That's not the bigger picture. So I'd rather just, you know, create it with the people around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you also feel like it becomes a movement.
Yeah.
It's not
just
like...
Seriously.
You know, a thing, you know, it's like, that's what I love about creating. It's like the more people that you can create with, the more of a movement it becomes.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
So Adam, you came back off the boat, had these moments of Zen, and then realized I need to start playing music again.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of music and revamping my view on drum instruction and this TV show idea, Musicians in Studios Getting Coffee. I kind of fell in love with this TV show since my original idea for it. And I just see how things have opened up the more I kind of did a lot of soul searching and found out what's really important to me and felt more about connecting with my tribe, whatever that is. And I seek to find out more what that is. And I feel like that's aligned me with people like Fia. I had done online tracks for the producer she was working with. And so that's how he recommended me. And when I met her and when I saw her perform, I was like, wow, this
You're
is
like, booyah. I need more dancers and this equation's complete.
I love being musical director, man. When you get to pick the band with a group
best.
Of friends. Yeah,
it's
you
the
put
best.
Together your
it's the best.
A-team.
But you know what? It's also nice. It is also nice to put the shoe on the other foot, which you've done. You know, it's like to work with great artists that like have a vision and you're just part of the vision. I like both. Mm. So yeah. Like sometimes if I'm, you know, with my songwriting team, it's like, great, let's just all work and create something together without it being like about somebody having the initial vision. And then I also like coming into my band rehearsals and being like, let's play some music. Let's make some arrangements. That's I need both. I need both sides of it because it's like one lends itself to the other. You can't lead if you don't know how to follow. Exactly. You can't follow unless you know how to lead.
Yeah. My years of being a sideman, I think, have really helped me to see what traits I appreciated and didn't appreciate about the people who were leaders. And that helped me to be more of a leader at this stage in the game.
Well, let's get some more dancers in NK Band then, too.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Hey, I'll dance.
Yeah. No, there's a vibe. There's such a vibe. But, you know, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I did a gig right out of college for Santana and Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter.
Oh, my God.
And there were 16 dancers. It was like a 14-piece band, and the energy with singers and a 14-piece band, 16 dancers, I'm still chasing that sound, that energy. I'm still chasing it 16, 17 years later.
Absolutely.
Because there's a vibe. Yeah. So it's like when you have all these people doing different parts of the creativity together, and it's tight. It's like you create an explosion.
Yeah, the last FIA show sold out, and there was so much energy. And so it's like, okay, well, how do we top that? Well, we
do it again.
Yeah, well,
and we get a flamethrower this time.
And actors, and man, they're doing creating a bunch of like kind of sets, and man, they're transforming them.
Awesome.
It's not even going to look like the original mint that you're used to.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, you got it. I'm excited.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Well, let's play something else, Adam. What do you want to play us out?
What else was the, you know?
I got car commercial and Cafe R&B.
Okay, Cafe R&B. Actually, yeah, they were the band that was around when I had my injury, and that was another thing. Like, I mean, years later, I'm still playing with them. We're headlining the Utah Blues Festival June 8th, and I'm flying out to play with them. And I just like, man, it's such a cool thing.
Do they have in their rider, like, no glass doors near my
door? Oh, man.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait for it. Hey! Right on.
So, yeah, and it's part of the, I want to tell my story. So, I mean, it's like my overcoming this adversity. I think I've learned a lot about how important your internal dialogue is in overcoming problems and, you know, improving yourself. And so Cafe R&B is doing a video about the kind of essentially a documentary about the band. We shot a bunch of footage and audio from Harpels, and then we did a shoot at Santa Barbara Sound, and that's all going to be footage for the band. Awesome. And I'm going to use that in me describing the people who are influential in my recovery.
Well,
so
before we sign out and play this song, I want you each to tell us where people can find you on the interwebs.
So, yeah, I'll be posting more video about TV show and education and my recovery process, acupuncture, Tony Bronigal's influence, Bruce Becker's influence, and interviews with Cafe R&B about, man, the incident and the recovery since then. And you can find me, Adam Gust, on Facebook, Gust Drums page, and also Adam Gust Instagram.
Yes, you can find me, Fia Nix, pretty much across the board.
Spell it out, because people
are dumb. Yes, it's F-I-A-N-Y-X-X, two words.
See, I never would have guessed that.
I know. So yeah, Instagram is Fia Nix Music, and music is spelled with an X. So Fia Nix, M-U-S-I-X. FiaNix.com for website, which will give you links to everything else. And then, of course, the new show, please join us at the Mint on the 11th, June 11th. And that would be, tickets are available at TheEmpireExperience.com.
All right.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Michael D'Angelo _, Facebook, Michael D'Angelo. And
is it D'Angelo?
It's DE A N G E L O.
You gotta tell us that. Yep. See?
You can find me there, guys.
All right. Solid. I'm gonna play Cafe R&B. You guys have been wonderful guests.
This is from the shoot at Santa Barbara Sound. And it's Roach, great singer in the band. And
All right, here it comes.
One big fire. I was born under past time. Down, down, down since I began to crawl. wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have.